Hi, folks. It's Carol with Arts Live and Local. Well, yeah. But today it's Arts Live from the parking lot on a beautiful day in Astoria, Oregon, 91.9. KMUN, 91.9. So I'm here on this weekend. What a weekend it is. It's the weekend before. Well, we're not quite sure what's going to happen, but we're trying to think positively for positive change in our community, our country, our world. And tomorrow night is Halloween, and then comes Day of the Dead. So you were just listening to Lila Downs from her album Tree of Life, Árbol de la Vida, and we heard Una Muerte, One Death, only it wasn't in Spanish. It was in a native tongue. And Lila wrote, "My grandmother's idea of death was to focus on the phase of rotting and decomposition, because this part was essential so that new life could be born. One death. The sun deity is identified with the oracle at Achula, where the children of the sun once lived." And now we're going to see if Lynn Marie is there. Lynn Marie, are you with me?
Sun deity is identified with the oracle at
Uh-oh. Hello, Lynn Marie?
Hello, hello, Carol.
Hi, did you turn your radio off?
I did.
Okay, good, thanks. And do I have anybody else with us?
You have Marianne. Hi, Carol.
Good. Okay. You just never know. As I said, folks, we are live from the parking lot, and we are all over the place, and we can't see each other, but we know each other, and I'm very glad to have both of you here today, and a big thank you to Nevada for not giving up on any of us. So
I agree.
So, Lynn Marie, okay, I'm going to give this a try. Now, I've known Lynn Marie for many years, but I've never actually tried to pronounce her last name. So here goes. Lynn Marie okay. DiCiani.
Oh, beautiful.
Oh, whew, I got it. Okay, good. It's a beautiful name, but I wasn't quite sure. And Marianne is simple. Marianne isn't simple at all. But Marianne's name is simple. Marianne Monson. Or Marianne Monson. I remember we talked about how you pronounce your first name. Did you come to a decision on your preference?
Oh, I've always pronounced it Marianne. But I am comfortable with people pronouncing it differently if they want. But I don't really respond to Mary because it doesn't occur to me that they're talking to me.
Good, good. Okay.
Marianne, and when I'm in Latin America, Mariana.
Ah, so,
any of those.
How lovely. Well, I just played Lila Downs, so perhaps but we'll stick with Marianne Monson. And Marianne is the founder and director of the Astoria Writers Guild. And Lynn Marie is relatively new, I believe. I'm not sure. You'll tell us, as the a board member and the board secretary at Astoria Writers Guild. Have I got it right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, Marianne's been here on my radio show, that is, numerous times because she is a prolific author. But today, she and Lynn Marie has been here for years because she was a fabulous volunteer at KMUN before we shut down. So, we didn't shut down, but the studio is shut down. So the reason they are here today is that the Astoria Writers Guild is creating their exciting event of the year. Only, of course, this year it will be virtual, and that is the Literary Ball. And it is happening at the River Sea Gallery in Astoria on November 7th, 2020. And they have a very special guest, and I am going to let them tell you about the affair, about the guest, and about how you can be there as their guest. So, you know, first maybe you want to talk a little bit about the Astoria Writers Guild.
Sure. Yeah, I think that would be a great place to start. So, as you mentioned, we're a 501c3 nonprofit, and this will be our third annual event. It's typically been called the Literary Ball. This year, with a nod to 2020, we're actually calling it the Literary Masquerade. If you will.
Okay.
So, yeah, we just tweaked it to represent. But it's a little different this year.
That's
usually
cute.
It's an in-person event at the Art Gallery at Riversea. This year, it will be an entirely virtual live stream from the gallery.
Mm-hmm.
So just a handful of the directors, board members, will be live streaming from the gallery. So,
and will they be wearing masks? Will they wear masks?
Well, yeah, we're going to wear masks and social distance, but when we're actually in front of the camera screen, the one and two of us are going to take them off so that people can hear us.
Well, isn't it
on the live stream?
It's interesting, though, because this particular holiday that's this weekend is perfect for these times, because we're all walking around with masks anyway. But yours will be, I believe yours will be probably a bit more elaborate. So the first, let's go back to the Writers Guild. You started it when?
So when I moved to Astoria in 2017, I was really wanting to find a community of writers. And at that time, there was a lot going on in the visual arts community, especially with Astoria Visual Arts AVA, but not so much for writers. And so I started talking with some friends just to see if there would be support and interest. And I got a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement. Actually, I talked to Lynn Marie because I knew she had a lot of experience in the nonprofit world.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't directly involved on the board until recently, but she has been part of the idea of the guild since the very beginning.
Okay. And the Literary Ball, now Literary Masquerade, tell us about that.
So as a nonprofit, what we do is we connect writers within the community, and then we seek to strengthen the surrounding area and Astoria through the power of the written word. So we promote great arts in all sorts of different ways. We sponsor writers in residencies with an annual event with in collaboration with Astoria Visual Arts AVA. We host open mics. We host writing workshops. And we bring authors into the school. So those are some of our projects. So this year, the Literary Ball, and this year the Literary Masquerade, is really like the end of our year as a nonprofit, as an organization, where we really celebrate. It's a culmination of our work and our project for the years, and we celebrate everything that has happened. And this year, I think it's more important than ever, really, mm-hmm. to celebrate the power of creative work.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be wonderful to have Lynn Marie talk a little bit about the show that she has organized as part of this event.
Okay. And the was it you, Lynn Marie, who discovered Jericho? Or how did that come about? And tell us all about him.
Well, actually, it was Marianne, who brought the idea of Jericho Brown being our oh-so-special mm-hmm. Pulitzer Prize-winning guest to be our headliner for the Masquerade 2020, and of course he will, yes, we're being absolutely optimistic, be here in person doing programs in the schools next year, Astoria High School, as well as Class of Community College.
Oh, God, that would be fabulous, yeah.
I know. We are absolutely thrilled about that. This is a sneak preview of Jericho himself announcing this when we broadcast the live stream on Saturday evening.
Now, where does he live?
He lives in Georgia. And I'll just interject and say I met him in 2019 at Portland Book Festival, what used to be called Wordstock.
Right.
I was there. I'd go every year. I've gone for years and years. And he did a pop-up reading. And, you know, in 2018, we worked with Forest Visions and helped bring Kim Stafford, Oregon Poet Laureate,
which was fabulous,
to town. And so we were thinking about bringing another author. And when I went and heard Jericho's pop-up reading and I met him in person, he reminded me of what I loved about Kim Stafford, in that he is an incredible artist. But beyond that, he's an incredibly generous presenter, just so gracious, and just effuses such wonderful magical energy. It's honestly hard to put it into words, and I just thought, I want to share this with Astoria so much. So I just introduced myself, and he was very kind and didn't think I was crazy. So that was really nice.
Well, maybe he knew where Astoria was, and thought, this sounds good.
I mean, I want to go to Australia,
absolutely.
Right?
Well, I have to, of course, I've never met Jericho Brown, but I did watch him in interview mode, and he is relaxed and accessible and just lovely. And so there's, I can understand where your enthusiasm came from. So you spoke to him, and you... And then what'd you do, hand him off to Lynn Marie?
Well, not quite, but I started talking with him and his agent and just corresponding about a potential visit. And, of course, we were hoping initially for fall 2020, but then the pandemic happened and so got pushed back to 2021. But we said, well, what about if we do a virtual event? And we could bring him in, you know, virtually. So that's exactly what we're going to do. So we're over Facebook Live. It's going to be a live stream from the gallery. We have readings from our two writer-in-resident recipients. We're really excited to hear from them, Sarah Buckmaster and Deborah Williams. And we will have giveaways and prizes and word puzzles. If you've been to the original version at River City, you'll know that there's always a component that is word games, and this year is no exception. They're just a little bit different. They're over a live stream format now. And then the, you know, highlight of the evening will be Jericho joining us and doing a virtual reading from Georgia.
Didn't you have, I was at least one of them, and didn't you have baskets? Because I
That's
remember
true. We've always done a raffle and a silent auction as part of it before. This year this year we recognized it was going to be different for the downtown businesses who've been so generous in supporting us in years past. We didn't feel like we could ask for anything else from them. We wanted to actually support River Sea, support the Secret Gallery, who is also co-sponsoring this event, and several of the other downtown businesses that have just been so generous in past years. So we're going to give shout-outs to them, encourage people to, you know, to purchase their holiday gifts from them, et cetera. But we're not doing an auction or that type of fundraiser this year. We're doing the prize giveaways. And we do have like a GoFundMe and a suggested donation of $5. If people can donate more, 100% of those donations will be used to support our nonprofit work that has zero administrative overhead. But if people cannot afford the $5, we want them to come anyway. It's our gift to the community, and we just want to come together and kind of mark the end of this very momentous year.
Oh, momentous. Oh, yes, there's a good word. Oh, by the way, folks, did I mention, don't forget to vote. Okay, Lynn Marie, tell us how this is going to work. And I remember when I first got the notification, I wrote back to you and said, how about come and talk about it on KMUN on arts? But sadly, I can't be there because I'm not on Facebook. And you said...
I said, very important for everyone out there to hear this, a Facebook account per se is not required to attend our event.
Yay.
Not yes. required.
I was delighted to hear that because I'm still not tempted to join Facebook for so many reasons that everybody listening knows, not about
right.
me, it's about Facebook. But
right.
but I do miss out on certain things, and this is one of them that I'm glad I will not miss out on. Mm-hmm. So how does it work? What do people do? Give us a link or a website. How do folks get started if they want to be part of this?
The easiest thing to do, first off, our event will begin Saturday, November 7th. We'll kick off at 6 o'clock. We encourage folks to log in a few minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to do that is going to be by going to our website, which is the Writers Guild, all lowercase, no punctuation, thewritersguild.org. And when you do that, the very first thing you see just about is our promo for Jericho Brown for the Literary Masquerade. And right on that promo is a link, and it'll say Facebook live stream. You click that. And wow, there you are.
And if somebody wants to donate money, is that a separate part of the website?
Actually, it isn't. It's in the same place, thewritersguild.org. When a person is looking at that on their phone or on a laptop screen, whatever have you, on the right-hand side, about halfway down, you'll see a bright blue PayPal logo, and it will say donate. Once again, a PayPal account is not required.
Mm-hmm.
We do accept all major credit cards, and mm-hmm. the suggested donation, as Marianne said, is $5.
Now,
if you can do that, that's right. great. If you'd like to do more, yay, even better. We won't say no to that, just like KMUN.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is that our goal is to be 100% inclusive. We mm-hmm. believe a literate community is a thriving community.
Wow. Sounds
so
good.
The important thing is log on and join us and have some fun.
So now tell us which one of you knows something about the two artists in residence, and then maybe in addition to our raving about Jericho Brown, maybe we can hear also about his what he writes. So who wants to talk about that?
Well, I will just mention the two writers in residence. They were chosen. So that's a collaborative project, like I said, with AVA. And it's the winner, the recipient, wins a week in a cottage up on Willapa Bay to do their own creative work. And so those mm-hmm. two women were selected by our committee of the directors of the Writers Guild, as well as
AVA.
Lisa Smith from AVA.
Right,
yes.
right.
And so, yeah, and so they're both just wonderfully talented writers. I will read their full bio that night when I introduce them. Okay. I actually don't have their full bios in front of me.
Right.
But one of them is working on a memoir, and one is working on dystopian fiction, and they're going to do brief readings from their work that evening.
Okay, now I heard you say Sarah Buckmaster.
Buckmaster.
And
yes.
Who was the other one?
Deborah Williams.
That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And what?
And then
yeah. What can you tell us?
As part of that, the other displays that I think would be great to have Lynn Marie talk about is this 2020 show where we just did a call to the community to respond to that theme, and I'll let Lynn Marie talk about that.
Okay.
Thanks, Marianne. Right, and so we put a call out to not only writers, photographers, painters, whomever. Primarily, it was writers who responded. And we said, so here is our theme. Respond to 2020. How have you experienced this? And share this with us in poetry, in prose, in flash fiction, photography, whatever you found has spoken to you, please share that with us. And so we were delighted to receive 13 submissions.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm.
And so even better, one of the things, as you're well aware of, Carol, is we have such a collaborative and thriving arts community no matter what we're facing. And so I'm delighted to announce that Tyne and Bristle in Astoria, Emily Engdahl, and the Secret Gallery, Chris and Jill, collaborated to create broadsides, 11 Ooh. By 17 broadsides mm-hmm. of every submission, and those will be on display at River Sea, beautifully printed, thank you, Secret Gallery, beautifully printed and displayed for the rest of the year after November 7th. So for the remaining of 2020, those 13 works will be on display, large portfolio style, not hanging on the wall.
Fabulous.
So in the gallery.
So they'll be...
And available for purchase, too, by the way.
Available for purchase.
And so they will be there starting on November 7th, is that what you said?
That's right. Okay. And they will be there through the end of the year.
Okay. Fabulous. Mm-hmm. So the writersguild.org, I suspect you can find all this information. Be sure to get there before November 7th so that you can put your life together. We're all so busy. It's true. We're not going anywhere, but some of us are quite busy anyway. I don't know how that happens, but it seems to be the way. So this Writers Guild Literary Masquerade happening November 7th at 6 p.m. It's at the River Sea Gallery, but you are not invited to come to the River Sea Gallery. You are invited.
Only the directors.
Yes, but you are invited to join the directors and the River Sea Gallery online through the website, thewritersguild.org. And special guests, there will be two artists, writers in residence, Sarah Buckmaster and Deborah Williams, and then our East Coast guest, Jericho Brown, and if all goes well, he'll be here in person next year. Thank you so much. This is exciting to have put together so much collaboration with so many people and businesses and galleries. And it's quite wonderful. And that's what we need to be doing. It's working together. So my guests have been Marianne Monson, the founder and director of the Astoria Writers Guild, and Lynn Marie Diciani. It's getting easier, see? And Lynn Marie is the board of directors of the Writers Guild, and she is the secretary and arranger of many things. I know that from personal experience. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you, Carol.
For
it's
Arts
always a
Live
pleasure talking to you.
Okay, take care now.
Take care. Thank bye, okay. You all.
Folks, I do have an announcement. Both lanes of the new Young's Bay Bridge are closed. Plan to use alternate routes, including Business 101 and the old Young's Bay Bridge. I don't have any more information than that, but both lanes of the new Young's Bay Bridge are closed, and I'm sure when the situation changes, we will get an update. But for now, take that into account. Thanks. And you are listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9, KTCB Tillamook 89.5, coastradio.org, with a shout out to Squamish and Seashelt, and a bon voyage to Tori, who's heading to New Baby Land, which we're all very excited about. And healing wishes to all of us and to all in special need. Thanks, folks. Now we've got some music for you.
The citizen is in. When the state becomes the enemy, and the citizen becomes the enemy of the state. Sedition, the condition the citizen is in. When the state is the enemy, the citizen is the enemy of the state. Muhammad was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Jesus was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Harriet Tubman was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Rosa Parks was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Sedition is the condition the citizen is in when the state is the enemy and the citizen is the enemy of the state. Jeanne d'Arc was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Malcolm was an enemy. An enemy of the state. Millions of Jews during Hitler's Germany were enemies, all enemies of the state. Sedition is the condition the citizen is in when the state is the enemy and the citizen is the enemy of the state. Sitting Bull was an enemy of the state. Salvador Allende was an enemy of the
well,
state.
Well, that, of course, was artist Spoonman from Port Townsend. I heard from him recently. He just celebrated a big birthday, and his entire family came to see him, including his granddaughter. I think there was a great-grandchild even there. So he is doing well. And he's very thoughtful. His spoons are what attract most of us to him to begin with. But when you get to know his poetry, very deep and very powerful. So let's make sure, folks, that we bring our country to a state where we are working together. And right now, usually I just say, and I do believe, art heals, art saves lives, and art is a way to come together, and all of that is true. But right now, my other message is make sure you have a plan to vote. I know many of us have already voted. Make sure everyone you know has a plan to vote. Thanks. And now, back to the arts in a big way. Hi, Dawn. Is Dawn there with us?
Dawn's on.
Okay. Hello.
Hi, Carol.
Hi. I'm glad you were able to join us. Dawn Stas... You know, I'm going to need you to pronounce your last name, too.
It's Stastny, Carol.
Stastny. So the T is almost silent.
Second T is almost silent.
Dawn Stastny is an extraordinary has an extraordinary diverse portfolio in the arts. And he is here today not because he's an architect or an urban designer or a design process innovator, all of which he is, but he's also a sculptor and deals with paint and words. Words, paints, and clays, and clay. And he is one of the featured artists next week for the Stormy Weather Art Festival in Cannon Beach. Don will be at Northwest by Northwest Gallery, and I have been very much admiring his work, which just focusing on the fine arts, which is what we're going to be talking about, that is also extremely diverse. So I really enjoyed, thank you for sending me the portals. I really enjoyed looking through the way you've made words into stories, paints into canvases, and clay into sculpture, not to mention bronze. I think my favorite piece was The Dreamer, Soul Travel, a bronze piece, because I'm a dancer, and that felt like there was so much movement in that. I was having a hard time not just flying off with the dance, with The Dreamer. So,
Thank you.
Thank you. Very
exciting. It's a pretty special piece, and I think the a lot of my inspiration for my pieces or the work that I do, as you've probably gathered, is based a lot in the Native American world.
Mm-hmm.
And have quite a, because of the architectural work that I've done within the Native American community, I've been able to kind of take lessons learned and be able to interpret that into my art without it being a cliche or dishonoring the people that I'm depicting.
Okay.
About the time I was doing The Dreamer, I was also reading quite a bit about Michelangelo and the David in Florence.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of a hand and that thing kind of came out of that, thinking about how you articulate in a very simple piece of human anatomy, both the dreamy quality, but also, I would say, the anguish a little bit.
Absolutely, yes.
It is a special piece.
Now, is that something that might be in the show, or is that?
Yes.
It is.
It is in the show.
Okay.
It is in the show.
Okay,
yeah.
Good, because
Actually, everything within Portals is in the show, with the exception of the Unfinished Lives paintings, Carol.
Mm-hmm. So can we go back a little bit and tell me about your background? Because, as I say, you're a professional architect, a very successful architect, but here you are doing these very powerful pieces of fine art, and then going into the writing as well. So I'm not sure. Is this an example of left side, right side brain all coming together in various ways, or how would you?
Well, I'm going to go back a little bit, kind of on personal philosophy. I would say if you take my life apart and you kind of take away the disciplines that might be represented by it. A few years back, I started thinking about what really makes my juices run,
mm-hmm.
and it was creativity.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it is a small thing, whether it is working with words, whether it's painting, whether it's sculpture, whether it's architecture, whether it is building cities, it kind of comes back to having that creative spark. work in art, in the finer art, is something that's been a part of my life in kind of a funny way from the time I was five, when my mother got me painting paint by number kits.
Just southbound.
And so I started way back then, and different times I would leave and come back to the painting. As I entered architecture school, I started up again, and then I quit. And then at some point, I decided to use it more as therapy, I would say, as anything. The sculpture actually came out of being mentored by Lillian Pitt.
Oh, okay.
She's a wonderful,
beautiful. Yeah.
Warm Springs artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And she's been a friend since we did the Warm Springs Museum. She's been in Warm Springs as the architect.
Wait a second. Stop right there. Stop a second. Yeah. You were the architect for the Warm Springs Museum?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Okay. I have been there a couple of times, actually. Not recently, but wonderful. Okay. Okay. And
idea of the, I think the Warm Springs Museum was one of the first museums done within the Native American world where it wasn't kind of taking a cliche like a teepee or a hogan and making a bigger one.
Mm-hmm.
But it really began to talk about the values
mm-hmm.
and beliefs of what the people felt. And so it begins with kind of a symbology that is represented within the Native American architecture that we've been fortunate enough to do, as opposed to, you know, office buildings or whatever else. It's an area where you can do expressionistic kind of architecture.
So did you work with the...
What I wanted to say was about Lillian is I was listening to Lillian one day, and she said, she made a statement. She says, when I found clay, I found my soul.
Hmm.
And I thought, that's interesting. Maybe I should get some clay and start playing. And I did.
Oh, wow.
And so the work with clay and work with bronze and sculpture has really been a relatively short period of time, I would say 8 years, maybe at that. And it has become kind of a primary mode for me because it is more like architecture. It is three-dimensionally taking ideas and stories
mm-hmm.
and representing them in three-dimensional form. And I happen to be working with some really terrific people out at the Gorge. They have, again, mentored me along as we've gone. And so it's Heather Soderberg, Don Barry in the casting, and a great person, Brenda Green Jackson, who is a patina wizard and artist. And Brenda has been kind of a wonderful collaborator, and we'll sit down and talk about a raw piece of metal and what I'm trying to predict or trying to portray. And Brenda will take that and almost like an artist and like an artist herself,
mm-hmm.
Put the wash over it then that begins to make that story magic.
Nice.
So it's, but the sculpture is very dear to me. When people have my sculpture, I tell them this is not to be put in a case.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be out. It needs to be petted every day because it has a soul
mm-hmm.
and it is telling a story. And it likes to be touched. And so my greatest joy is when people have it and they do just that
mm-hmm.
every day
mm-hmm.
one way or another, or they look at it, or they think about what it means, something like that, but they interact with the piece.
I
think that's something that you get out of sculpture that's very difficult to get out of painting.
Absolutely. Now, how long did you say you've been doing sculpture?
About 8 years, I think.
Eight years. Like okay. I have to admit that was my favorite part, all of the sculpture. That particular, the dreamer, grabbed me and took me away. Actually, I can see the, what you're saying now rings true. My guest is Dawn Stastny. I do need to announce that the southbound lane of the new Young's Bay Bridge is closed. So just the one lane, but plan to use alternate routes if possible, including Business 101 and the old Young's Bay Bridge. Okay, so are you still painting, though, as well?
And oh, yes. No, I in fact, I'm sitting in my studio/garage. at this point, I have a painting on the side and a couple of pieces of sculpture going on right now. And, of course, the words are always in my head milling around. So it's, well, everything's in play at any one particular time.
Yeah, it sounds very...
The painting that's in there, which is kind of interesting to me, is I almost call it adult paint by number. and I was very close to Michael Russo through my architectural work. Mm-hmm. And Michael's very simple paintings that were outlined in dark, and then he used basically house paint to fill in the color fields and things like that, were an inspiration to me. I said, well, if I could take that same kind of technique and begin to delineate color fields in a way that they were impactful, that to me then had told a greater story from my personal perspective than more free-flowing painting techniques. I can do the others. I find that the ones that I'm working on now with this kind of adult paint by number take a lot more discipline. And in a way, it kind of goes back to the architecture.
Right.
There's a certain structure to it.
Absolutely.
That you have to include within architecture that you do. And so the painting itself becomes kind of the basic substructure or substructure of the piece is inherent in the dark lines, and fields of color then combine in different ways to both continue the story or to contrast with a color that might be next to it. So it's a very disciplined way of painting, I would say, rather than just throwing a bunch of paint on canvas.
Yeah, well, to me, it spoke of your architectural training, geometric and exacting, but also felt symbolic, as though there's all kinds of symbolism that is meaningful to you. And then I feel like each one of us, as we look at it, gets the opportunity to interpret for ourselves. You leave us the room for that. I'm curious, since you said you started, you've been doing art most of your life, what came into your brain to send you to architecture school? Because I know about architecture school. I know that it is holy hell, and many of the students... The university I went to had a very good architecture school, but a huge proportion of the students who did graduate did not go into architecture. They went into all kinds of other fields, including sculpture. But to get through that, it was a 5-year program, and it was great suffering. And so I'm wondering, did you know that it was going to be hard, or was it so natural for you that it wasn't hard? You sailed right through.
Well, I would say it was more natural. What architecture school teaches you, I think, is to take an action and then defend it.
Ha!
And so if you are if you are conceptualizing something and you put it out in front of people for criticism, then you have to be able to defend what that is.
Mm-hmm.
I have just a little bit of a story. I hope it won't take too long on how I got into architecture school.
Mm-hmm.
I graduated from a small high school in Southern Oregon, from Milan, small Czech community, mm-hmm. and had very good grades. So when I went away to college at Oregon State, I started in pre-med because it just seemed like maybe I should do that. So I went to my zoology. I had zoology my first term, and my first zoology midterm, I had a D. Which was the first time I'd ever seen that letter, according to my, in my grades forever. So I was sitting one night in the dorm with my door open, and it was across the way, and I was memorizing the muscles of a frog.
Oh, God.
I kept watching this guy across the way, and he was playing with balsa wood and gluing things together and stuff like that, and after about an hour, I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm doing this model of space."
I said,
"What? Yeah, how do you do that?" He said, "Well, I'm an architect. I'm in pre-architecture."
Uh-huh.
And I said, "You get the credit for that?"
So I
called my parents the next day, and I said, "I'm changing majors. I'm going back. I'm going into architecture."
Right.
And so that. Nice. That was, because I figured making models of space was a lot more interesting than the muscles of a frog.
Yeah. Well, apparently you were right, because then it's a good thing you found your way early on, because you have been quite successful. But did you keep making art with drawing, et cetera, before you even discovered the clay and the sculpture throughout that time?
Well, yes, of course, because I think if you practice, depending on how you practice architecture, I always practice architecture in a way of drawing, of sketching, and models.
Mm-hmm. And
all of my work was always developed with a physical model in we were developing at the same time. So we knew what the forms were, we knew what the symbology was, we knew what the feeling of the building or complex might be.
Mm-hmm.
So I think in a certain way, that part of architecture, the art of architecture, if you
mm-hmm.
will,
mm-hmm.
Was always a part of it. And we also then found as it developed over time that it's kind of the same way in designing cities, is that again, the creative spark, the structure you put into it, is a part of the art of making cities. So it's a.
So what cities?
I think the art is integral to the architecture, and the architecture is integral to the art.
When you mentioned cities before, tell us what that means. Briefly, and then I want to just talk about the festival as well, but. What does that mean, creating a city?
The city work, it really came out of studying urban design at the University of Pennsylvania. And some of the early work we did was new town planning. But then as we got more and more involved in it, it has to do with kind of the reconstruction of cities, of understanding how cities operate, how communities operate.
Mm.
What the values are within those communities and how that begins to show itself within the form of the city.
That's a lot more than most people think of when they think about architecture. So
yeah,
there's some psychology and sociology involved in there as well. So, okay, so Don Stastny is my guest. That's STASTNY. Don, do you have a website that folks can, or something that folks can go to see your work?
No, not really.
Okay.
The architecture, there's work in there on Stastny Brunn. there's some more. There's some presentations on Facebook. I think, and you can Google a name and find some different things that we've been involved in. But I do not maintain a particular site for the art itself.
Okay. Well, I got lucky then because you sent me this portals, which is full of gorgeous stuff. So, folks, let me remind you, the reason Don is my guest is that he is one of the featured artists next week at Stormy Weather Festival, which usually takes place all over Cannon Beach. They have fantastic gallery cooperation in Cannon Beach, the Cannon Beach Gallery Group, and they put on the Stormy Weather Festival, and also later in the year, in the springtime, they have the Plein Air Festival as well. And usually the galleries are all open. There are all kinds of things happening. It's just a fabulous time to be there. This time, we all get to be there, no matter where you are in the world, because it will be virtual as well. And I think the best thing to do, and you know, I didn't write down the, but if you just look at Cannon Beach Gallery Group, Stormy Weather Festival, you can get information. And next week, I will have another artist, Hazel Scaling Schlesinger, is going to be on. She is the official artist, which means that she created the poster for this year's Stormy Weather Festival. So I will be more prepared with exact information. But Dawn's work is at Northwest by Northwest Gallery. And
Schlesinger's work is just wonderful.
Oh, good.
She deals in the genre of oil painting and a lot of plein air stuff, and her work as well is very expressive. Goes all the way from fairly literal things like she did for the poster to real strong impressionist things. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, her work is extraordinary.
Good.
And well, I think a lot of the work that you see. Naturally, I'm a little bit partial to Northwest by Northwest Gallery.
Yeah.
So my work, but the work that they choose to show and have within Northwest by Northwest is work by masters from the Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
Original work. There's no copy.
Right.
Work. So right.
And they have wonderful artists, photographers, sculpture,
right,
painting, yeah, and it's a beautiful gallery.
Yeah.
So we will talk more about the festival next week, but folks, put it on your calendar. Stormy Weather Festival. Local folks know about it, but the good news is you can check it out and check out Northwest by Northwest, and see all of the wonderful things that they carry in their gallery. And Don, thank you so much for being my guest. This was delightful.
Well, it's been my pleasure, and it's it's always nice to be able to talk about your work.
Okay, good. Thanks so much.
But I'm around. I've been sequestered in North Cannon Beach through this whole COVID thing, so.
Okay, so people can actually find you.
If someone comes to the gallery and wants to talk about some of the work that's out,
great,
give me a call, and I'd be happy to pop down.
Okay, thank you so much. We are out of time, folks. I do want to remind you the southbound lane of the new Young's Bay Bridge is closed. Plan to use alternate routes, including Business 101 and the old Young's Bay Bridge. It is... There are a few things going on this weekend, but I'm out of time to tell you, so I'll just let you know. This is KMUN at Astoria, 91.9 KTCB Tillamook, 89.5, and I hope that you make sure to have your plan to vote, and maybe if we're lucky, Nevada will be able to put some music on now. I'm not sure he can get that in there because we only have a few seconds. Here we go. Thanks so much for being here, folks. Vote, vote, vote.